Talia had 2 seconds to decide. Keep running and let the hounds tear her apart, or trust the unlocked door. She chose the door. She knew it was a mistake the second she stumbled inside. No one living this deep in the Thornwood left their door unlocked. The cottage interior was too clean. Fire burning low, books stacked neat, the scent of pine and something darker that sent ice down her spine. Someone lived here. Someone was coming back. But the hounds were right behind her, their howls so close the windows rattled, and she was out of time and options and... Are you finished bleeding on my floor? Talia's head snapped up. He stood in the doorway to what must have been a bedroom, perfectly still, arms crossed over a chest broad enough to block out the light behind him. Dark hair fell past his collar, and he wore simple clothes, a black shirt unlaced at the throat that pulled taut across his shoulders, dark trousers, boots. But the showstopper was his eyes. Amber. Pure liquid amber, catching the firelight like molten gold. They were alpha eyes. Her wolf whimpered inside her, recognizing what her mind was still trying to deny. I can explain, she said quickly, raising her hands. I'm not here to steal anything. I just need to hide for a few minutes. Then I'll be gone. You'll never see me again. You're hurt. He nodded toward her side, where her hand was pressed against the arrow graze, blood seeping between her fingers and dripping onto his floor in a slow rhythm. Just a light scratch. You're a bad liar, he moved to the window, where he pulled the curtain aside just enough to peer out. How many are hunting you? That's not important. How many? The command in his voice wrapped around her throat like a fist. 6, maybe 8. The words spilled out before she could stop them. They have tracking hounds. He let the curtain fall and turned to face her fully. In the firelight, she could see him properly now. The sharp cut of his cheekbones, the curve of his mouth that didn't match the coldness in his eyes, the way he held himself like someone who'd never had to ask for anything twice. People don't run into the Thornwood at night unless they're running from something worth dying to escape. His eyes pinned her in place. So I'll ask again. What did you do? Talia's throat closed. She couldn't tell him. Couldn't admit that 5 years of careful hiding had crumbled because someone had recognized the marks on her wrist in a crowded market. That she was exactly the kind of trouble that got people killed. I didn't do anything, she repeated, lifting her chin. I just need somewhere to hide until they pass. Then I'll leave. No. His voice was quiet now, but absolute. No? You're not leaving. He crossed the room and suddenly he was right there, close enough that she could feel the heat radiating off him, see the way his amber pupils had dilated. Not until I know exactly what you've brought to my door. You can't keep me here. His hand shot out and caught her wrist, the one with the marks. She watched his eyes flare with recognition, amber bleeding brighter as his thumb traced over the silver lines with precision. The crown is hunting for you, he said softly, and there was something dangerous threading through his voice now. Talia tried to pull away, but his grip held firm. You're not just running from guards. His gaze snapped back to her face, and she watched the pieces fall together behind his eyes. You're running from an execution order, which means whoever sent them knows exactly what you are. He went very still, his thumb frozen over the marks. The question is, do you? If you're enjoying this story so far, please subscribe. I'm a new creator, and your support goes a long way. Now back to our story. Before she could answer, the hounds erupted into howling outside. So close the sound rattled the windows and sent her heart into her throat. They'd found the cottage. The man moved before she could process what was happening. He released her wrist and crossed to the window, extinguishing the oil lamp on the table as he passed. The room plunged into firelight and shadow. Stay quiet, he said. Don't move. Through the window, she could see torchlight flickering between the trees like predatory eyes. The hounds went silent, and somehow that was worse. The quiet stretched taut as a bowstring, waiting to snap. Just then, something small and dark shot out from beneath the table. A wolf pup, barely 2 months old by the look of him, tumbled across the floor in a tangle of oversized paws and fluffy gray fur. He skidded to a stop at Talia's feet, looked up at her with mismatched eyes, one blue, one amber, and let out what was clearly meant to be a ferocious growl, but it came out as a squeak. "Ollie," the man's voice held a note of exasperation. "You're not intimidating anyone." The pup ignored him completely. He planted himself between Talia and the door, tiny body vibrating with protective energy. "Your guard dog needs some work," Talia whispered. "He's not mine, just a stray I found in a trap." The man crouched beside the window, peering through a gap in the curtain, his body coiled and ready. Outside, voices carried through the trees. "Check every structure." She couldn't have gone far with that wound. The man's eyes cut to her, taking in her blood-soaked hand, the way she favored her left side, the pallor creeping into her face. Something shifted in his expression. "Come to the cellar," he said quietly. He moved to the hearth and pulled aside a woven rug to reveal a trapdoor set into the stone floor. Talia crossed to it on legs that felt suddenly unsteady, and he helped her down, his hand firm on her arm, carefully avoiding her marked wrist this time, until she landed in cramped darkness that smelled of earth and old stone. "Don't make a sound, no matter what you hear." Then he lowered the trapdoor, sealing her in darkness. Above, she heard the rug slide back into place with a whisper of fabric, then footsteps, his, measured and calm, moving toward the door. A sharp knock rattled through the floorboards. "Open up, Kingsguard." A pause that stretched too long, then the creak of hinges. "Can I help you?" The man's voice had changed, slower, rougher around the edges. "We're looking for a woman. Dark hair, mid-twenties, wounded, marks on her wrist. Seen anyone like that?" "No, sir. Don't get many visitors out here. Mind if we take a look inside?" Talia pressed her hand against the wound in her side. Through the floorboards, she heard boots entering the cottage, multiple pairs. Searching. Someone moved close to where she was hidden. So close she could hear the creak of leather armor. She held her breath until her lungs screamed and her vision started to spot. "What's with the pup? Found him in a trap couple weeks back. Couldn't leave him to die." Ollie let out a whine, and she heard his small paws padding across the floor. "Place looks clean," a different voice said, gruff and disappointed. "No sign of her. If you see anything unusual, report it to the garrison in Milford." "Understood." The door closed. Footsteps retreated, muffled through wood and earth. Talia counted to 100, then 200. When the trapdoor finally opened, she had to squint against the sudden firelight. The man crouched at the edge, silhouetted and unreadable, except for the gray beard now attached to his jaw. "They're gone," he said, peeling the fake beard off and tossing it aside. "For now." He reached down. Talia took his hand and let him pull her up. Her legs nearly buckled, but he steadied her, one hand at her elbow. Ollie approached cautiously, nose twitching. He circled her boots once, twice, then sat down and tilted his head like he was trying to figure out if she was friend or food. After a moment of consideration, he sneezed directly on her ankle. "Well," the man said dryly, "that's his version of approval." Talia looked down at the absurd little creature and felt something loosen in her chest for a beat before reality crashed back in. "I need to leave," she said, even though her legs were threatening to give out. "They'll come back. Do a more thorough search," You're not going anywhere in that condition. He pulled out a chair at the table. Sit. Let me see the wound. Thank you, but you've done enough. He pulled a leather satchel from a shelf. Medical supplies, clean bandages, something astringent that made her nose wrinkle. Lift your shirt, he said. Talia hesitated, then slowly peeled the blood-soaked fabric away from her side. The wound was long and angry, still bleeding sluggishly. His gaze tracked over the damage, though she couldn't help noticing his dark eyelashes, unfairly long for someone so guarded, as he leaned closer to examine it. Lucky, he said quietly. Another inch to the right, and you'd be dead. He pressed a wet cloth to the wound without warning, and Talia hissed through her teeth, fingers digging into the edge of the table. Breathe, he said quietly. It'll hurt less if you do. She forced air into her lungs and tried to focus on something other than the burning, like the way his hands moved, steady and competent, with the kind of practiced efficiency that spoke of field training. Military, probably. You're not a woodworker, she managed through gritted teeth. His hands paused for just a fraction of a second. How do you figure? Your hands are too smooth. And you move like someone who's been trained to fight. Maybe I used to be something else. He reached for the needle and thread, and she felt her stomach clench. Before what? Before I decided it wasn't worth it. The first stitch pulled tight and her vision swam, gray creeping in at the edges. Talk to me, he said, voice low and even. Helps distract from the pain. For starters, why is the crown hunting you? Talia's jaw tightened. Maybe it was the pain stripping away her defenses, or the exhaustion, or the fact that he'd just saved her life. But her lips seemed to rebel against every instinct to lie. Those marks on my wrist, she heard herself say. They're not just scars. When I touch someone, I can take their memories. His hands didn't falter. I know. You what? I've seen marks like that before, a long time ago. He tied off a stitch and started another. So are you going to tell me how they caught you, or do I have to guess? I brushed against a royal courier in Milford a few days ago. It was an accident. The market was crowded. I wasn't trying to. She stopped, letting out a deep sigh. I stole his memory. Saw something I wasn't supposed to see. His hands slowed, the needle hovering just above her skin. What did you see? The king taking orders, moving like he had no will of his own. Her words came faster now, like a dam breaking, and one word kept repeating in the courier's thoughts. Imposter. The man's needle paused mid-stitch. Someone in the market recognized what I was. An hour later, guards were kicking down my door. She met his eyes. I think the crown wants me dead before I can tell anyone. He finished the last stitch in silence, then sat back. For a long moment, he just looked at her, like he was weighing something, deciding how much to risk. Finally, he stood and crossed to the bookshelf, pulled down a leather-bound volume that looked like it hadn't been touched in years. Behind it, something caught the firelight. A sigil. Tarnished gold, cracked down the middle. The royal crest? Talia's breath stopped in her chest. You're someone who used to be important, he said, finishing her thought. 6 years ago, I left to lead a campaign at the northern border. When I came back, my brother was on the throne. And not a single person in that castle knew who I was. Talia stared at him, her mind trying and failing to make the pieces fit. That's not possible. One person can't just erase an entire kingdom's memory. That's what I told myself. A bitter smile twisted his mouth. But when your own guards look at you like you're a stranger, when your brother, your own brother, orders you arrested for impersonating royalty. He trailed off, the muscle in his jaw jumping. Eventually, you start believing in the impossible. Talia gripped the edge of the table as her mind raced through the implications. The marks on her wrist pulsed. If someone existed who could do what he was describing. The courier's memory, she said slowly. There were references to someone called the Weaver. Someone powerful enough to... She studied his face. Really looked this time. Past the longer hair, the stubble, the rough edges of someone who'd been living in exile. You're the real king, she whispered. I was. He slid the sigil back into its hiding place with careful precision. Now, I'm just Tristan, a ghost living in the woods, same as you, same as me. I'm not... You are. You steal memories to make yourself forgettable, untraceable. How many people have you erased yourself from? He leaned against the bookshelf, arms crossed. We're both ghosts, Talia. The only difference is you chose it. His words settled into her bones, cold and undeniable. The Weaver, she said slowly, forcing her mind to work through the fear. If they're powerful enough to do what they did to you, and they know I saw that memory, they won't stop hunting you. He pushed off from the bookshelf and returned to the table, leaning forward on his forearms. You're proof that memory theft exists, which means we're both running from the same thing. Cold dread pooled in her chest. She'd been thinking too small. Guards, arrows, a quick death if they caught her. But this was different. Someone out there who could reach into thousands of minds was hunting her now. So what do we do? Her voice came out smaller than she intended. Tristan's gaze moved over her face like he was reading a map, finding all the places fear had taken root. We find them first. Figure out who this Weaver is, how they did it. And then, something hardened in his expression. We make them answer for every memory they've taken. Just the two of us? Talia heard the disbelief in her own voice. Against someone who can control an entire kingdom? Do you have a better plan? Before she could answer, Ollie let out a bark. He sat at attention between their chairs, chest puffed out like he was ready to take on an army. Tristan glanced down at the pup. My mistake. The three of us. He looked back at Talia, one eyebrow raised. I'm sure Ollie's intimidating presence will strike fear into our enemies. Ollie wagged his tail, completely missing the sarcasm. Despite the dread coiled in her gut, Talia felt her mouth twitch. She looked from the pup to the exiled king sitting across from her, and something settled in her chest. Okay, she said. I'll help you. Tristan leaned forward slightly. I can get you to the Freelands when this is over. It's outside the crown's reach. You'd be safe there. You could stop running. He extended his hand across the table. Do we have a deal? Talia stared at his offered hand. If she touched him, she'd take a memory whether she meant to or not. He had to know that. But Tristan didn't pull back. Just waited, palm up, amber eyes steady on hers. Slowly, carefully, Talia reached out and wrapped her fingers around his. The memory seeped into her mind like water through a crack. She's stumbling through his door, blood-soaked and desperate, and his first thought isn't threat assessment or self-preservation. It's, God, she's beautiful. Even terrified, there's defiance in her eyes. The curve of her mouth, the sweep of her lashes, the hollow of her throat where her pulse jumps. He shoves the desire down hard. She's in danger. She needs help. But when her eyes meet his, something kicks in his chest that has nothing to do with duty. Talia gasped and yanked her hand back, heat flooding her face in a rush that made her ears ring. Tristan had gone very still. What did you see? He asked. She didn't know how to answer, because she'd seen herself through his eyes. His gaze dropped to the fresh mark on her wrist, then lifted back to her face. A slow, sheepish smile curved his mouth now, the first real one she'd seen. Well, that's embarrassing, What do you mean? I know which memory you took. He rubbed the back of his neck, and gods, he was actually blushing, color creeping up from his collar.
Point is, you don't have to worry about stealing memories from me. I'm immune.
Her pulse kicked.
You knew what memory I'd see, and you still
offered my hand?
Yes.
His gaze held hers. Seemed only fair.
You told me your secret. Now you know mine.
The air between them felt suddenly too thin. Talia was acutely aware of how close they were sitting, of the way his eyes tracked over her, reading every micro expression. Ollie, apparently sensing the shift in atmosphere, launched himself at Tristan's lap with zero grace. He missed, and let out an indignant yip that clearly meant pay attention to me. Tristan caught the pup before he could fall, exhaling something between a laugh and a sigh.
You have terrible timing.
Ollie licked his chin enthusiastically, tail wagging like he'd just accomplished something heroic.
You should rest, Talia, Tristan said, setting Ollie gently on the floor.
His voice had gone carefully neutral again. We'll start sifting through the courier's memory in the morning. Figure out what we're dealing with. He stood, moved toward the bedroom to check that it was ready.
Ollie trotted after him like a tiny shadow.
Talia rose slowly, testing her stitches, and followed. The bedroom was simple. Clean sheets, a small window, a single candle burning on the bedside table. Tristan stepped aside to let her enter, keeping a careful distance.
I'll be right outside if you need anything.
She nodded, suddenly unsure what to say. He paused in the doorway, one hand on the frame.
For what it's worth, I meant it.
What you saw in that memory. Then he was gone, pulling the door mostly closed behind him. Ollie followed him out without a backward glance, apparently having decided his loyalty lay with the one who fed him.
Talia sank onto the bed, her side throbbing with each breath, her wrist burning where the new mark pulsed.
Through the gap in the door, she could see Tristan moving around the main room, banking the fire, checking the locks, Ollie weaving between his feet and nearly tripping him twice, the quiet rituals of someone who'd learned to survive alone. He glanced toward the bedroom once, and even from this distance she felt the weight of that look, longing and restraint. Talia lay back against the pillow, one hand pressed to her wrist where Tristan's memory hummed beneath her skin like a second heartbeat. Exhaustion pulled her into darkness. She woke to the smell of something burning. Talia sat up too fast, her stitches pulling sharp, and stumbled to the door. In the main room, Tristan stood at the hearth wrestling with a skillet, poking at what might have once been eggs. Smoke curled toward the ceiling.
I can cook, he said without turning around.
Just not well. Ollie sat nearby, eyeing the charred mess with deep suspicion. The laugh bubbled up before she could stop it, startling them both, then immediately turned into a wince as her stitches pulled. Tristan glanced over his shoulder, amusement softening the hard lines of his face.
Regretting that already?
Little bit, she managed, pressing a hand to her side where the pain radiated in sharp waves.
No comedy until you're healed, then.
His expression shifted to concern.
How bad is it?
Hurts like hell, but I'll live. She made her way to the table, testing her range of motion with each careful step.
Sit. I'll make something edible.
He scraped the ruined eggs into a bucket. Ollie immediately investigated, then backed away with an offended sneeze. Talia lowered herself into a chair and watched Tristan start over, cracking fresh eggs. There was something surreal about the domesticity of it, like they were playing house while the world burned around them.
We should start with the courier's memory, she said, breaking the quiet. See if there's anything else useful buried in it that I missed the first time.
After you eat, he brought her a plate. Eggs that were only slightly scorched this time.
Bread, honey. You need your strength if we're going to do this properly. She ate slowly, hyper aware of him settling into the chair across from her. He wasn't staring exactly, but he was noticing the way she shifted her weight to favor her uninjured side, the shadows under her eyes that spoke of a night spent half awake listening for danger. "What is it?" she asked finally, when the weight of his attention became too much. "Just thinking. About? About how we're going to do this without getting you killed." He leaned back in his chair, arms crossed, looking more like a king. "The Weaver knows you exist. So they'll be hunting you actively, not just relying on regular guard patrols stumbling across you by chance. So we stay hidden. Keep moving." "For how long?" His eyebrow arched. "A week? A month?" He shook his head slowly. "Eventually someone will find us. And when they do, you need to be able to defend yourself." Talia set down her fork, appetite gone. "I can defend myself. But can you fight? I can run. I've been running for 5 years. Running won't work this time." His amber eyes held hers. "When the Weaver sends someone skilled, you'll need more than speed. You'll need to be able to hurt them before they hurt you." The thought made her stomach turn. "I'm a thief, not a soldier. Then I'll teach you." He stood, crossing to a shelf mounted on the far wall, and pulled down two knives. Simple blades, the kind meant for close work and quick decisions. He set one in front of her with a soft clink. "Starting today." Talia stared at the weapon lying beside her plate. "I don't know if I can do this." "You can." His mouth curved slightly. "Besides, I'm an excellent teacher, very patient, occasionally encouraging." She reached out and wrapped her fingers around the knife's handle. It felt heavier than it looked. "Good," Tristan said, and the approval in his expression made something warm unfurl in her chest. "Now let's see what you remember." They trained in the clearing behind the cottage, where the trees formed a natural barrier and Ollie could tumble through the underbrush without getting lost. Tristan started slow, teaching her footwork first, how to keep her weight balanced without twisting her torso too much. "We'll work around the stitches," he said, demonstrating a stance that kept her core stable. He showed her how to hold the blade. When he adjusted her grip, his hands lingered, warm against her skin. "Don't think," he said, circling her with predatory focus. "Just react." He lunged, controlled, pulling the speed so she could track the movement. Talia stumbled back anyway, nearly tripping over Ollie. Again. They went through it a dozen times, Tristan varying the angle and speed while keeping his strikes high, away from her wounded side. Sweat soaked through her shirt despite the cool morning air, and the constant movement made her stitches pull with each twist and dodge. "You're hesitating." He wasn't even breathing hard, which was infuriating. "Stop thinking about hurting me and just do it." "I don't want to hurt you. If I were the Weaver's man, I'd already have a blade in your heart." He stepped closer, near enough that she could see the flecks of darker gold in his amber eyes. "Survive first. Apologize later." He came at her again, and this time Talia ducked under his reaching arm, bringing her blade up toward his exposed side. He caught her wrist mid-strike, twisted with precise control, and suddenly she was pinned against his chest with his knife pressed lightly to her throat. "Better?" he said, his voice dropping low near her ear, breath warm against her neck. "But not good enough." His heartbeat was steady against her back while hers hammered like she'd been running for miles. She could feel every point of contact between them. His arm around her waist, his chest rising and falling, the deliberate care he was taking not to press against her wounded side. "How do I get out of this?" she asked. "Ideally, you don't let yourself get into it in the first place." His thumb traced a small circle on her captured wrist. and she felt the touch all the way down to her toes. "But if you do..." He released her, stepped back, and she immediately felt the loss of his heat. Elbow to the ribs, foot to the instep, twist and break free. Like this. He demonstrated the sequence in slow motion, then faster, each movement precise. "Your turn." By the time the sun reached its peak, she was drenched in sweat and her wound throbbed with each heartbeat. But she'd managed to land a real strike that made Tristan grunt and step back with genuine surprise. "Good," he said, rubbing his side where she'd caught him. A smile played at the corner of his mouth. "You're learning faster than I expected." Ollie chose that moment to launch himself at a falling leaf with vicious intensity. "Our fearless protector," Talia managed between labored breaths, watching the pup wage war on foliage. "He's doing his best." Tristan's expression softened as he watched Ollie shake the defeated leaf like it was prey. Then his attention shifted back to her. "Let's take a break. I'll check those stitches before we work on the memory." Inside, Talia collapsed into a chair while Tristan fetched water and clean bandages. Her side had started bleeding again. "Let me see," he said quietly, already kneeling beside her chair. His fingers were gentle as he peeled away the old bandage, checking each stitch with focused care. This close, she could count the individual lashes framing his eyes, trace the small scar along his jaw with her gaze. "Holding better than I expected," he said, "but barely. You're the one who made me train." "I adapted the training," he corrected, reaching for the astringent. "You did well today." "Better than well, actually. High praise from a former king. High praise from someone who trained the royal guard." He began rebandaging with careful precision, his hands warm against her skin. When he finished, he didn't immediately pull away. His palms stayed pressed to her ribs, just below the wound, his thumb tracing a pattern that made her breath catch. "We should try the courier's memory now," Talia said, but her voice came out breathier than intended. "While we have time." Tristan's eyes met hers, and something flickered in their depths. Heat, awareness, reluctance to break the moment. But he nodded and stepped back, giving her space to breathe again. "What do you need?" he asked. "Just..." She pressed her fingers to the marks on her wrist, feeling for the courier's memory among all the others stored there. "Talk to me while I search. Your voice helps me focus. What should I talk about? Tell me about your brother, before everything changed." Tristan settled into the chair across from her, and his voice softened. "Matthias was 8 when I left for the campaign. Used to sneak into the stables before dawn to help me saddle my horse, even though he could barely reach the stirrups." A small smile tugged at his lips. "One morning he tried to pack himself into my saddlebag. Said if I was going to fight monsters at the border, I'd need someone brave to watch my back." "What happened to him?" she asked quietly. The warmth in Tristan's expression faded. "The Weaver happened. Turned him into a puppet. I don't even know if the real Matthias is still in there somewhere, or if she's erased him completely." Talia closed her eyes, sinking into the stored memory. The courier's thoughts unfurled like a scroll, fragments and images, conversations half remembered. Matthias standing in a private chamber. But there's someone else there. A woman's voice, cultured and commanding. "The Eastern shipment arrives in 3 days. I want it secured before the autumn equinox. And the rumors? About a girl in the Eastern provinces who can steal memories?" A pause. Then, with chilling certainty, "She's real. But she's useful. If we can bring her in alive, she can be another vessel for storage." Talia's eyes snapped open, her whole body going cold. Vessel for storage. Tristan leaned forward instantly. "What does that mean? I don't..." Her mind raced, trying to piece it together. Storage. She wants to use me for storage. But storage of what? Then it clicked, and the horror of it made her hands shake. Memories. She wants to store her stolen memories in me, like I'm a container she can fill when she runs out of space. Tristan's hand closed over hers immediately, warm and steady, grounding her before the panic could fully take hold. That's not going to happen. You don't know that... Yes, I do. His grip tightened, fierce and protective. What else did you see? She closed her eyes again, still holding on to his hand like a lifeline as she went deeper into the memory. The courier shifted position, and I caught a glimpse of her. Tall, wearing black silk gloves that reach past her wrists. And on her neck, just above her collar, the image crystallized with terrible clarity. Silver marks, countless of them, wrapping around the woman's throat like a necklace of scars. She has marks too, Talia whispered, her eyes flying open. On her neck. So many of them, they overlap. How many memories would that take? Hundreds, maybe thousands. The weight of it made her voice shake. She's been doing this for decades, building power one stolen memory at a time. Did you see her face? No, just her profile. But there was something else. Talia concentrated, pulling at the edges of the memory. She mentioned an Eastern shipment arriving in 3 days, wanted it secured before the autumn equinox. The courier had this memory 2 days before I stole it, which means... The shipment arrived yesterday. Tristan stood, paced to the window. Whatever the weaver wanted, she has it now. The shipment arrived yesterday. Tristan stood, moved to the window, his jaw tight. Whatever the weaver wanted from the east, she has it now. What could be that important? When I was still at court, there were rumors, whispers about artifacts from before the kingdom was unified. Old magic that the crown supposedly destroyed centuries ago. He turned back to her, and his expression had gone grim. Things that could amplify power. If even half those stories were true, and the weaver has one now, he didn't need to finish. Talia looked down at her own marks. So few compared to what the weaver must carry. Someone that powerful, with an artifact that could make her even stronger, wanting to hollow Talia out and use her as a vessel. Stop. Tristan crossed back to her and crouched so they were eye level, his hands coming up to frame her face. I can see you spiraling. She's going to find us. You know she will. And when she does, she'll have to go through me first. His thumbs brushed her cheekbones, and the touch was achingly gentle. Listen to me. We're not waiting around for her to come hunting. We go on the offensive. How? You can access memories, see things people want hidden. His eyes blazed with sudden intensity. If we can figure out who the weaver really is, her identity, where she operates from, we can expose her. Force her out of the shadows. One hand slid down to her neck, his thumb tracing the line of her jaw. We both get out of this, or neither of us does. That was the deal, she breathed, suddenly very aware of how close he was, how his pupils had dilated, how his gaze kept dropping to her mouth and dragging back up like it took effort. Then we'd better make sure we both survive. Because I... He stopped himself, but his eyes finished the sentence, darkened with want and something deeper that made her chest ache. Because you what? Her words came out barely a whisper. Instead of answering, he leaned in, slowly, giving her every chance to pull away. But Talia's eyes fluttered closed and she tilted her face up, her heart pounding so hard she was certain he could feel it under his fingers and when his breath ghosted across her lips. Ollie barked. Sharp, urgent, terrified. They both froze, the spell shattering. Tristan's hands fell away as they turned toward the window where the pup stood, hackles raised, body trembling with something far beyond his usual playful bravado. This was real fear. Tristan was at the window in an instant, every muscle coiled. When he turned back, his face had gone carefully blank in a way that made her stomach drop. We need to leave, right now. What is it? Riders. Three of them, moving fast from the north. He was already grabbing supplies, weapons, a leather pack, dried food, his movements sharp and efficient. Royal hunters. The kind the crown sends when they want someone found and don't care what it takes. The blood drained from Talia's face. How long do we have? Minutes, maybe less. He crossed to her, helped her stand, his hands gentle, even as urgency thrummed through every word. They're not searching randomly this time. Someone told them exactly where to look. How? Doesn't matter right now. He fastened her cloak with steady fingers.
There's a river a mile east. We reach that, we can lose our scent in the water. And then, old temple ruins 3 miles northeast. Mostly collapsed, but defensible. He scooped up Ollie, tucking the trembling pup inside his cloak where the warmth would keep him quiet. Then his eyes met hers, intense and searching.
How bad is your side? Tell me the truth. I can run. That's not what I asked. His hand came up to cup her face. Can I carry you? We'll move faster. No, I can do this. She caught his wrist, held on. Together, remember? Something fierce and tender crossed his expression. Together. But if you fall behind, I'm carrying you. No arguments. He pressed his forehead to hers for just a breath, and she felt him memorizing the moment as if it might be their last. Ready? She nodded. They slipped out the back just as hoofbeats thundered to a stop out front, voices already barking orders with military precision. Not guards stumbling through a search, hunters who knew exactly what they were doing. Then they were in the trees, running. Her side screamed with each jarring step, the stitches pulling with every impact. Branches whipped at her face and snagged her hair, roots reached up to trip her, and behind them she could hear the hunters fanning out with terrifying efficiency, calling positions to each other, coordinating, closing in. Tristan raced through the forest like he'd navigated these paths 1,000 times, leading her along trails that barely existed, his hand reaching back to steady her when she stumbled. Ollie stayed perfectly still inside his cloak, just frightened, mismatched eyes visible at the collar. They ran until Talia's lungs were raw fire, and each breath tasted like copper and ash. Until her legs turned to something that wasn't quite flesh anymore, just pain and momentum. Tristan caught her when she stumbled, his arm locking around her waist, taking most of her weight without breaking stride. Almost there. I've got you. She could hear it now. The rush of water cutting through the forest like a promise. Freedom. Escape. They burst through the tree line and Talia nearly sobbed with relief. The river stretched wide and fast before them, swollen with autumn rains, deep enough to hide their trail. Don't move. The voice came from behind them, cold, calm, and absolutely in control. Every muscle in Talia's body locked. She felt Tristan go rigid beside her. They turned slowly. 3 riders had emerged from the trees in a perfect arc, cutting off any retreat. The 2 flanking soldiers sat easy in their saddles, hands on weapons, eyes tracking every movement. But it was the man in the center who commanded attention. Tall, lean, with the kind of face that would be handsome if it weren't so cold. He wore the Royal Guard's black and silver, and he sat on his horse like someone who'd never lost a fight. Tristan. The man's voice carried a note of something that sounded like amusement. It's been a long time. Tristan's entire body had gone taut as a drawn bow. Varen?
Not long enough, apparently, Tristan continued, his hand moving slowly toward his knife. But they were surrounded, outnumbered, and everyone in this clearing knew it. Let her go, Tristan said. Whatever quarrel you have, it's with me. She's got nothing to do with this. On the contrary. Varen's gaze shifted to Talia, and she felt it like ice water down her spine. Assessing, calculating. The Weaver wants this one very much. Something about needing a new vessel before her current capacity fails. The words hit Talia like a blow to the chest. The Weaver sent Varen to collect her like cargo. She's not a vessel, Tristan said, and there was steel in his voice. She's a person. She's a tool. Varen dismounted with fluid grace, his boots hitting the ground without a sound. His men followed, spreading out in a practice formation. But you, she's willing to bargain for. Deliver the memory thief, and the Weaver will restore what she took. Every memory of you, return to every mind in the kingdom. He paused, letting that sink in. Your throne, your name, your brother finally remembering who you are. Talia felt Tristan bristle beside her. Matthias is 15 now, Varen continued, his voice almost gentle. Still asks about you sometimes, in the moments when her control slips.
Where did my brother go? He says. Why can't I remember his face?
His eyes glittered.
Imagine giving him that back. Imagine him knowing you again.
The words were a knife, precisely aimed. Talia could feel Tristan shaking, not with fear, but with the weight of loneliness and loss. All you have to do, Varen said softly, is step aside. Let us take the girl. And you get everything back. Your identity, your kingdom, all for someone you met yesterday. For a heartbeat, Talia felt Tristan's hand going slack in hers. Then his fingers tightened again, lacing through hers with fierce certainty. The answer is no.
Tristan, Varen's voice hardened. I said no.
Tristan's amber eyes blazed. You tell the Weaver that some things matter more than a crown, and she can go to hell. Varen's expression went cold.
I was afraid you'd say that.
He gestured, and his hunters drew their weapons. Take them both. The Weaver will decide what to do with the king. The men moved in, a coordinated advance. Tristan shoved Talia behind him, knife out, his body a shield between her and the closing circle. They were outnumbered 3-1. Everyone in this clearing knew how this would end. Then Ollie wiggled free from Tristan's cloak. The tiny wolf pup hit the ground and immediately launched himself at the nearest hunter, with what was clearly meant to be a terrifying war cry. He latched onto the man's boot with all the ferocity his 2-month-old body could muster, shaking and growling like he was fighting a dragon instead of leather. The hunter looked down, bewildered. What the... Ollie released, darted between the man's legs in a blur of gray fur, and somehow, through sheer chaos, managed to grab both bootlaces in his tiny jaws and yank them together in a knot. As the hunter took a step, his boots caught, and he went down hard with a startled yelp, his sword spinning away across the ground. Ollie Tristan lunged for the pup even as the other hunters converged. But Talia wasn't watching the fight anymore. She was staring at her wrist, at the marks that pulsed with stolen memories like a second heartbeat, and something clicked into place with absolute clarity. She didn't just steal memories. She stored them. The marks weren't scars. They were a map, a record of everything she'd taken and carried, etched into her skin like a living archive. And if she could pull memories in, what if she could push them out? The realization hit her like lightning. All this time she'd been using her power one way, taking and hoarding and hiding. But memory theft worked both ways. It had to. Otherwise the Weaver wouldn't need vessels, wouldn't need to offload her stolen memories into other people when her own capacity failed,
which meant Talia could do the same. Flood someone with memories instead of stealing them. She looked up at Varin, at the commander advancing on Tristan with cold purpose, and made her choice.
Tristan, she shouted, get down!
He dropped, taking Ollie with him in one fluid motion. Talia ran straight at Varin. The commander's head snapped toward her, surprise flickering across his face before it hardened to calculation. His sword shifted, angling toward her throat instead.
Foolish.
She grabbed his wrist with both hands. The flood hit him like a dam breaking. Every memory she'd stolen over the years came rushing up at once. Hundreds of moments, thousands of fragments, all different lives and different minds, all pouring out of her marks and into him in a crushing wave. It was too much. Far, far too much for one mind to hold. Varin's eyes went wide with shock, then terror. His sword clattered from his grip. Then he screamed. He dropped to his knees, his hands flying to his head as if he could physically hold his fracturing mind together as he drowned in memories that weren't his. He was a baker and a beggar and a child and an elder all at once, his identity splintering under the weight of too many lives lived simultaneously. The other hunters stumbled back, weapons lowering as they watched their commander collapse into incoherent gasps. Talia swayed, releasing Varin's wrist. The world tilted sideways. The marks on her wrist had faded. Not gone, but lighter, like she'd bled out 5 years of accumulated pressure all at once. Her knees buckled. Tristan caught her before she hit the ground, his arms solid around her waist.
What did you do?
Gave them back, she managed. The memories. I can give them back. Understanding flashed across his face, wonder and horror in equal measure. Behind them, hoofbeats, more of them. The crash of branches and shouted orders as reinforcements poured through the trees. A dozen riders at least, maybe more.
The ruins, Tristan said, his voice urgent and low. We run now.
He scooped up Ollie with one hand, kept his other arm locked around Talia's waist, and they ran. The ruins rose through the trees like the broken bones of something ancient. Weathered stone pillars and crumbling walls half consumed by moss and creeping vines, the remains of a temple that had stood here long before the kingdom existed. Sacred ground, or so the stories claimed. They stumbled into the center where 5 massive pillars still stood in a rough pentagon, their surfaces carved with symbols time had rendered unreadable. Tristan set Ollie down and positioned Talia behind the largest pillar, putting his body between her and the forest where the hunters would emerge any second.
Listen to me, he said,
his hands framing her face, amber eyes burning into hers with desperate intensity.
If this goes wrong, Tristan, let's not go there. We need to get out of here alive.
His thumb brushed her cheek and something fierce crossed his expression. Because there's a clearing about 2 miles north of the cottage. Overlooks the entire valley. He swallowed hard. I want to take you there. Show you what the sunrise looks like from that spot. Her breath caught. Is that really what you're thinking about right now? A sunrise? I'm thinking about tomorrow. His voice dropped, rough with emotion. For 6 years, I've watched that sunrise alone, wondering if I'd ever have a reason to care about the next day. And then you... He stopped, his eyes holding hers. You're the first horizon worth fighting for. Her chest tightened. Then you'd better make sure we both survive, she said, her fingers twisting in his shirt. I will. His forehead pressed to hers.
But if they get past me... They won't. If they do, Talia, you run. You use that power of yours and you run and you don't look back. That's not the deal we made.
Something raw and tender crossed his face. He opened his mouth to respond, but it was too late. The hunters poured into the clearing and the world narrowed to steel and stone and the impossible odds of making it out alive. A dozen hunters circled the ruins, weapons drawn. Tristan pulled Talia tight against the pillar, his knife ready, Ollie pressed between them, making small worried sounds.
"Spread out," one of the hunters called. "They can't have gone far. Take them alive if possible."
Tristan's jaw tightened. They were trapped. And Talia was still weak from flooding Varan with memories. Then a voice cut through the clearing.
Quiet and controlled, and suddenly every hunter went still. "That won't be necessary." A woman stepped through the ring of hunters like she owned the very ground beneath their feet. Tall, elegant, dressed in black silk with gloves that reached past her elbows. Her hair was darker than Talia remembered from childhood, streaked with silver now, pulled back to reveal a face that time had carved into something beautiful but menacing. And around her throat, just visible above her high collar, were the marks. Hundreds of them, overlapping like scales, faded to white with age. "Hello, Talia," the woman said with a smile. "You've grown up beautifully. You look so much like your mother." Talia's hand found Tristan's arm, gripping for support as her knees threatened to buckle.
"Aunt Misha?"
"You remember me." Misha's expression softened with genuine pleasure. "I wasn't sure you would. You were so young when I left. 6 years old, wasn't it? The night your mother died." The memory hit Talia all at once, fragmented, half-formed, the kind that belonged to a child too young to understand what she was seeing. Misha, standing in their small cottage, arguing in hushed voices with her mother, pale and frightened. And then,
"You took her memories," Talia whispered, "the night she died."
"You were there. I was trying to save her," Misha said, and there was grief in her voice. The fever was burning through her mind. "I thought if I could take the worst of it, store it in myself, she'd have a chance to recover. But I was too late." She took a step closer, and the hunters parted for her like water.
"That's when I realized the truth about our gift, Talia. We don't just steal memories, we carry them. We bear the weight of everyone else's pain so they don't have to. It's not theft, it's mercy."
"You erased a king from existence," Tristan said, his voice hard as stone. "Where's the mercy in that?"
Misha's gaze shifted to him, and something cold entered her expression. "The mercy was letting you live, Tristan. I could have had you killed. But I'm not cruel. I simply remove the problem. No bloodshed, no war. Just a clean transition of power to a king who'd actually listen to reason." "Matthias is 15 years old. You turned him into a puppet. I gave him guidance. Structure. The kingdom has thrived under his rule. My rule." Misha's voice remained calm, reasonable. "There's been no border wars.
No political upheaval. I did what was necessary."
She turned back to Talia. "And now I'm offering you the same thing I offered your mother all those years ago.
A chance to be part of something greater, to use your gift for more than just survival. You want to use me as a storage vessel. I want to teach you."
Misha spread her hands.
"Look at my marks, Talia. I've carried the weight of this kingdom's secrets for longer than you've been alive, but even I have limits. The marks can only hold so much before the mind starts to fracture." She smiled. "But if we work together, if you helped me carry the burden, we could do so much more. Reshape not just one kingdom, but all of them. Rewrite history itself so that war becomes impossible. Suffering becomes a memory we choose to forget. By stealing people's minds? By giving them peace?" Misha's voice took on an almost hypnotic quality. "Imagine it. No more trauma. No more grief. We could take those memories, store them away where they can't hurt anyone. Let people live in blissful ignorance of all the terrible things they've endured. Isn't that what you've been doing for yourself all these years? Making yourself forgettable so you wouldn't have to carry the pain of being remembered?" The words cut too close to her heart.
Talia felt Tristan's hand tighten on hers.
You're talking about lobotomizing an entire kingdom, Tristan said, taking away the things that make them human. I'm talking about evolution.
Misha's eyes glittered.
The strong carry the weight so the weak don't have to.
That's always been the way of things.
I'm just making it permanent.
And what happens when you run out of space even with me? Talia asked. Do you find another vessel? How many people does it take before you've stolen every memory in the world?
Misha's smile faded. I was hoping you'd understand, that you'd see the beauty in what I'm building, but I suppose you're still too young.
She sighed. Fortunately, I can work with reluctance.
She gestured, and two hunters moved forward.
Don't, Talia said, and there was something in her voice that made them hesitate.
Don't make me fight you.
You can't fight me, child. You just gave away all your stored power to incapacitate Varen. Your marks are nearly empty. You're running on fumes.
Misha's expression turned pitying.
But that's fine. I don't need you cooperative. I just need you alive.
Once I transfer enough memories into you, you won't remember why you were resisting in the first place.
What happens to Tristan?
Misha considered.
That depends on you.
Cooperate, and I'll let him keep his memories. He can go back to being nobody, but at least he'll remember you. Remember this moment. Her voice dropped.
Resist, and I'll erase you from his mind completely. He'll forget you ever existed. You'll be a ghost even to each other.
That's your offer?
Talia's voice shook.
Become your vessel, or lose each other forever. I'm offering you a choice your mother never got.
Misha's expression hardened.
She fought me too, refused to let me help her.
And she died screaming, her mind burning itself apart, alone and in agony.
I won't let that happen to you.
You don't get to pretend this is mercy, Talia said. You want to use me, control me, turn me into another puppet like Matthias. I want to save you from the same fate as your mother, from burning out young and dying with your gift unutilized, wasted on parlor tricks and survival.
Misha took another step forward.
Last chance, Talia. Submit willingly, and I'll be gentle. I'll let you keep the important memories. Your childhood, your mother's face, even him.
She nodded at Tristan.
Fight me, and I'll tear it all away. Leave you empty, a perfect vessel with nothing inside.
Talia looked at Tristan, at his amber eyes burning with fierce protectiveness, at the way he'd positioned himself between her and danger even now, even outnumbered and outmatched. Then her gaze shifted to Misha's throat, to the hundreds of marks wrapped around it like a collar. Somewhere in there was the memory of erasing Tristan. And if Misha could put memories in, Talia could pull them out.
You're right, Talia said quietly, buying precious time. I can't fight you. You're too powerful, too experienced.
She looked down at her faded marks. But I have one question before I agree.
Misha's expression shifted to something triumphant.
Ask.
When you erased Tristan from the kingdom, when you stole all those memories at once, did it hurt?
The question seemed to genuinely confuse Misha.
What? Taking that many memories, thousands of them, all at the same time.
Did it hurt you? Strain you? Make you feel like your mind might crack under the weight?
Misha's eyes narrowed slightly, for a moment.
But I'm strong enough to bear it.
And where did you put it? That memory of erasing him?
Talia took a step forward, away from the pillar.
Tristan tried to pull her back, but she kept moving.
Is it in your marks?
Stored like all the others?
Why does it matter?
Because I need to know if you're strong enough.
Talia met her aunt's eyes.
If I'm going to let you put centuries of memories into me, I need to know you won't break me. So show me. Show me the memory of what you did to him. Let me see how a real master handles that much power. It was a gamble. A reckless, stupid gamble based on nothing but instinct and desperation. Misha's expression shifted to pride. You want to see the scope of what's possible. The true extent of our gift. She smiled. Very well, I'll show you what real power looks like. She pulled off one glove, then the other, extended her hand. Touch me, Misha said, and see what you could become. Talia reached out. Their fingers met, and instead of pulling the memory Misha offered, Talia went hunting. She dove past the surface memories, past today, past yesterday, past years and decades of accumulated theft, down into the oldest layers where the marks were thickest, where Misha had stored the things she never wanted to forget. And there, buried deep, wrapped in layers of protective mental walls Misha had built to keep it safe, was the memory of erasing a kingdom. Talia grabbed it, and instead of pulling it into herself, she pushed it back to where it belonged. Not into her own mind, but out. The resistance hit her like a wall of fire. Misha's eyes went wide. What are you? No. The weaver's mind clamped down. Talia felt her aunt's power slamming against hers, trying to force the memory back down, lock it away. But Talia held on, gritting her teeth as pain exploded behind her eyes. It was like trying to hold a lightning bolt barehanded. It seared through Talia's marks, scorching new lines across her skin as she broadcast the memory outward, forcing it to every mind in range. Stop! Misha hissed, her grip tightening on Talia's hand. You'll kill us both. Good! Talia gasped and pushed harder. Blood trickled from her nose. Her vision started to gray at the edges. Somewhere distant, she heard Tristan shouting her name, but she couldn't stop. If she stopped now, Misha would slam the memory back into place and Talia would have nothing left to fight with. The hunters in the clearing began to gasp, their eyes going unfocused. They were starting to remember, fragments filtering through despite Misha's resistance. A king. Tristan. 6 years of wrongness, Misha screamed, because Talia had found the linchpin, the keystone memory holding centuries of careful control together, and she was ripping it out. The marks around Misha's throat ignited, silver lines burning like cracks in breaking glass. You don't know what you're doing, Misha snarled, trying to wrench her hand away. But Talia's grip held, fueled by desperation and the memory of Tristan's face when he'd talked about being forgotten. Those memories are mine. I earned them. You stole them, Talia choked out, her whole body trembling with the effort of holding the broadcast steady. And I'm giving them back. The marks around Misha's throat spiderwebbed, fracturing. Each break sent a shockwave through both of them, Talia gasping as the power tore through her, Misha convulsing as stolen memories destabilized all at once, and then the dam broke. Memories exploded outward like birds from a shattered cage. The hunters collapsed to their knees, hands pressed to their temples as they remembered. Not just Tristan, but everything. Every moment Misha had stolen, every thought she'd locked away, all of it flooding back to the minds that had always owned it. Talia's legs gave out. She would have fallen if Tristan hadn't caught her, his arms solid and warm as the world tilted sideways. Her marks were burning, fresh silver lines etched so deep they looked like they might never fade. And Misha? Misha collapsed, her hands clutching her throat as the marks continued to shatter and fade. Those memories, she whispered, voice breaking. I was holding them stable. Keeping them safe. Without my control. They go home, Talia managed, tasting blood, where they always belonged. The hunters were stumbling backward now, weapons forgotten. One by one, they fled, ran into the forest, desperate to escape the ruins, until only Misha remained, kneeling in the dirt, the marks on her throat fading to nothing as centuries of stolen power bled away. "You've killed me," she whispered, looking up at Talia. "Without those memories to hold together, my mind will heal," Talia said firmly. "You'll remember who you were before all of this, before you decided mercy meant control." Misha laughed, sharp and bitter. "You have no idea what you've just destroyed." Her eyes, still fierce despite her collapse, locked on Talia. "You'll regret this. When the kingdom tears itself apart, remembering every petty grievance, every old wound I kept buried, you'll wish you'd let me keep control." Then her eyes rolled back and she slumped forward, unconscious. The marks on her throat completely gone. Talia tried to stand and immediately swayed. The world spun violently. Tristan caught her before she hit the ground, easing her down to sit against the pillar. "Easy," he murmured, one hand cradling her head. "You're bleeding." He pulled a cloth from his pack and gently wiped the blood from her nose and upper lip. "Did it work?" Her voice came out rough, exhausted. "Can they remember?" His expression shifted to awe. "Yes, I can feel it. Across the kingdom, people are remembering. They know who I am again." A wet nose pressed insistently against Talia's cheek. Ollie had wriggled free from Tristan's cloak and was now climbing into her lap, whining with concern and licking every part of her face he could reach. "Ollie, she needs air," Tristan said as he kept the cloth pressed to her nose. "Can you sit up a bit more? Here." He shifted behind her so she could lean against his chest, his arm coming around to support her. "Does this mean you have to go back, be king again?" Tristan was quiet for a moment, his hand gentle as he stroked her hair. "Eventually. Matthias will need help. The kingdom will need..." He stopped, pressed his lips to the top of her head. "But not today. Today I have something more important to do." "What's that?" "Show you a sunrise." His voice was soft, certain. "Like I promised." Ollie chose that moment to sneeze directly in Talia's ear. "With our fearless protector," Tristan said dryly. The clearing was exactly as Tristan had described it. They'd walked there in the pre-dawn darkness, Ollie trotting ahead with renewed energy now that the danger had passed. Talia's stitches pulled with each step, but she didn't care. She was too busy watching the way Tristan moved through the forest, no longer hiding, no longer invisible. When they reached the edge where the trees opened onto a sweeping vista of the valley below, Tristan stopped. "This is it," he said quietly. "This is where I've been coming. For 6 years." Talia looked out at the darkness, at the first hints of light just beginning to touch the eastern horizon. "It's beautiful." "Wait, it gets better?" Tristan said. And he took her hand, lacing their fingers together, and they stood there in the quiet as the sun began to rise. It came slowly at first, a pale line of gold that split the darkness, then warmer, orange and pink bleeding into the sky, painting the clouds, turning the whole world soft and new. The valley below came into focus, farms and rivers and roads, a kingdom waking up to a day where everything had changed. "This," Tristan said, his voice rough with emotion. "This is what I wanted to show you." He turned to face her, and his eyes caught the light. "Because even when I was nobody, this was real. And I wanted..."
"You wanted someone to see it with you," Talia finished.
"No, I wanted you to see it with me," he corrected gently. His hand came up to cup her face. "Yesterday, when I said you were the first horizon worth fighting for, I meant it. You gave me back my kingdom. But before that, you gave me something better." "What's that?" "A reason to care about tomorrow." He leaned in, slowly, giving her time. But Talia didn't need it. She rose up on her toes and kissed him. It was soft and sweet, and tasted like sunrise. Like new beginnings, a promise they were both finally ready to make. 2 days later, they were on the road back to the capital. Talia rode beside Tristan, Ollie perched in a basket attached to the saddle. The pup kept trying to climb out, whining with increasing urgency, like he was trying to tell them something. "What's wrong with him?" Talia asked, watching Ollie paw frantically at the basket's edge. "Probably hungry. He's always hungry." But Talia frowned. There was something about the way Ollie moved, the way he seemed to understand complex commands but couldn't quite execute them properly. "Tristan," she said slowly, "when you found Ollie in that trap, did he seem normal for a wolf pup?" "Define normal. He's always been a disaster." "No, I mean..." Talia reached out and scratched behind Ollie's ears. The pup went still, looking up at her with those eerily intelligent eyes. "What if he's not just a pup? What if he's stuck?" Understanding dawned on Tristan's face. "You think he's a shifter? That he can't shift back? I think someone very powerful might have taken a memory from him. The memory of his human form." Talia lifted Ollie out of the basket, held him close. "And I wonder if I can give it back." Ollie's tail started wagging so hard his whole body shook. "Can you do that?" Tristan asked. "Give back a memory you don't have?" "I don't know." Talia looked down at her wrist. Her marks were faint but beginning to return, new silver lines tracing paths across her skin from the memories that were naturally hers. "But I can try." She closed her eyes, holding Ollie close, and reached for the possibility. For the knowledge of shifting, of changing, of remembering how to be human. And deep in her marks, she felt something respond. Talia opened her eyes. "I think I can help him," she said. "But I need to practice, learn how this works," and she smiled down at Ollie. "I think he deserves better than me fumbling through this. He deserves to be whole." Ollie licked her chin. "Looks like we're adopting a child," Tristan said, but he was smiling, though he's probably going to be disappointed when he realizes he's stuck with us. "We'll make it work." Talia tucked Ollie back into the basket. They rode toward the capital as the sun climbed higher, leaving the ruins and the weaver and the weight of stolen memories behind them. Ahead lay a kingdom to restore, a brother to heal, and a future neither of them had dared to imagine. But for now, there was just this: the road, the sunrise, and the certainty that they'd face whatever came next together. Ollie sneezed. And for the first time in years, Tristan smiled like he believed tomorrow might actually be worth seeing. Did you enjoy this story? Please subscribe if you did. And let me know if you'd like a part 2.